Welcome to Outbound, where we talk about how people who do business development can build deeper relationships with their ideal customers. I'm Joseph Lewin, and today on the show, I have Melissa Wexler. Melissa is a seasoned sales leader. She was leading teams for over 10 years, and before that, she was an attorney. So I'd actually like to lead off a little bit different than normal and ask you about how did you go from being an attorney to ending up in sales? That's kind of an interesting career journey.
I love it. And I love that we're starting there because I do have a unique journey in sales. And before I went to law school, I went to work for an IBM hardware provider, an ERP solutions provider. And I was what was, you know, a BDR back, you know, the version we call a BDR. I was totally out there cold calling for sales leads. And, but I did that before I went into law school about a year and a half after I had graduated from college. So went to law school, practiced, you know, I loved it because I learned things. I learned about negotiation, reading people, just being able to ask questions. So that served me in sales in ways that nobody had put together. In fact, they kind of giggled a little when I became a sales manager at first because I had been a lawyer and they're like, why are you hiring a lawyer?
I love it. Yeah. And I can definitely see how those skills come into play because it is, yeah, negotiating and asking questions and being able to really like listen for the unsaid things and dig deeper into those. I mean, those are huge in discovery. And, you know, if you aren't good at uncovering things during the sales process, you're going to end up in big trouble. Either your deal's going to fall apart unexpectedly, or you're going to run into something that's getting snuck under the table. And if you're able to look over the contracts, find all those things ahead of time, man, you can, that's an amazing skill set, and ability to be able to teach that to your reps is huge.
The thing is, the most important part about it all is anyone can do it. And I'll tell you what that is. And we don't do enough of it. Listen. It's not just the questions. A lot of us talk and you see the memes floating by, like people listen to answer or talk. And it first, you really need to get to know the people you're working with. And I agree with you that discovery, a deal is made or lost in discovery. And I will always say that. So great point there.
Yeah, I love it. So what is your secret sauce for building relationships with your ideal customers?
All right. I love this because I just know one of your secret sauces is relationship building, and it is all about the relationship. But what does that mean, right? How do you help someone with developing relationships? I really thought about this, and it comes down to caring authentically. It comes down to knowledge sharing. We just talked about that. And genuinely give it, receive it. I love this. And passion. You know, I know everybody says, well, how do I find my passion, my why? You know, the big questions. But really, break it down a little more simple than that. What do you like about the people you sell to? What do you like about the industry? What jazzes you up? And start the conversation there. Right?
Yeah, I like that. I like that approach because I think when people talk about being their authentic self, sometimes it's hard to apply that, you know, say, and I'm actually not a golfer, so I'm bust, but you know, say you love golfing and, you know, then you are doing your day job that's in sales. And I guess the two could cross over if you're in the right sales job, but if you're not, you know, then those things don't necessarily cross over and you're like, well, I'm really passionate and authentic about golfing and half the people I'm talking to think golfing is ridiculous. So, you know, I can't really cross those things over. So I'm not my authentic self in that. But what you just described is kind of a different way of pulling that in. Like you can use that to build rapport and that's great. But being authentic is about finding something that you're interested in and curious about in the industry and about the other person. And we just actually had an episode about being curious and that, you know, this kind of plays into that same idea where it's leaning into something that you're authentically interested in. And then when you're authentically interested in the other person on the other side, they feel that and they want to talk more and they share things that help you understand their problems better. And you can build a much better relationship that way.
I love that. That sums it up really well. And I think authenticity, I heard that in there. I heard be curious. Those are paramount. And I've said this forever, but think about sales sometimes as dating. I'm sorry if that's not okay to say, but at the same time, it is. People sense inauthenticity. People sense that you're desperate, right? End of quarter, you have deals on the line that can make or break, and that can't you can't drive true success when you're not authentically trying to help problem solve and not truly care or find passion in what you're doing. And I love that you pointed out the uniqueness, but the way I tend to think about it is enjoy the process, get to know beyond the product, get to know your client, get to know what they care about, get to know what's happening in their industry, do the research, visit associations online, and they talk a lot about what your clients are struggling with day in and day out. I was thinking about podcasts even, right? Just engage, knowledge sharing, that back and forth between you and the people you want to serve.
Tell me about a time when you've applied that authenticity and really being genuinely curious about the person on the other side and their industry and doing that research. When has that paid off for you?
Oh, I'm sorry, but people are tired of hearing about it, but this is a true story. It was absolutely the pandemic and the election cycle in 2020. Everybody had gone bananas. And this is a point I want to make. Economy, innovation, technology, all of those change. But what's consistent is relationships and people. Well, at the time the pandemic hit, we had that mini recession and nobody knew what to do. We all saw our pipelines evaporate, everybody paused, and we figured out, well, guess what? We know what we're seeing and we know what we think is right to do. Let's help people trying to make that same decision right now, and let's approach everything from a knowledge sharing. What do we learn? What are we seeing? What are people in the industry doing? And because we help people, we were there when they figured out how they would move forward, what budgets would look like, purchasing, right? Operations, how they would design their go forwards. We wouldn't have been there if we hadn't consulted. We would not have, we went on to grow year over year, 10% and 20 the following. And I really would go all the way back to the beginning when we made a decision. I said to the team, we've got to realize the people we serve are in the same position we are. So what do we know? Let's start helping.
Yeah, that's huge. And that kind of goes back to a point that you were making earlier about how, you can visit these brand these associations, industry associations, and as you're doing that, you really learn about the pains of the industry. And I'm really more of a from a marketing background myself, and I was a product marketer. And as I've been talking with more salespeople, I found that a lot of companies, especially in the advisory or consulting space, don't necessarily have product marketing or a marketer on their team that develops messaging. And so it ends up being the sales team on the front line. And so a lot of salespeople are actually, whether they realize it or not, they're mini product marketers for their team, where they're going out, they're finding the pain points and problems, they're identifying who the ideal customers are, they're shaping how the solution should be positioned, and then they're positioning that. And a lot of times it's on a one-off basis, but then they start to get an idea and, pull that idea together. And I mean, from a marketing perspective, it's best if you can get your sales reps information, pull it together, and then create a unified product marketing message. But at the end of the day, the sales reps who find those pain points and can like tailor the way they talk about the solution to address those pain points, those are the sales reps that I've met who are really successful.
Me too. And it's been the same. I've been in multiple industries. Honestly, I worked with IBM software and ERP solutions. I was an attorney and did work in business development in that industry and sales. And then I went to work for an agency and supporting mainly, the PR and communications profession. And I will tell you, people are passionate about what they do, and I learned more getting to know them through their interests within the industry than I did in a demo. Does that make sense? And from that, you're right. And I saw my sales reps do this as well. When we could tailor the messaging, target it better, really understand pains from a deeper level, people respond to that.
Yeah. I mean, and if people have listened to this show before, I'm sure they've heard me talk about this, but I think that a lot of times in the marketing space, this is true, but I think in sales, it's true too. We're focusing on business problems a lot of times. Like when you do, well, most people really focus on their solution and talking about it all the time. And then good reps focus on business problems and they help solve those and then tie business problems to business objectives and, you know, can tie those together. But the people who are the best figure out what is the personal pain for the person on the other side that's caused by this problem. And if you can identify what keeps the other person up at night, you know, what's making it so they can't sleep, that's involved with their job, and you can speak to that, even if you don't sell something that's going to help that, if you can speak to it, then they're going to trust you so much more and go like, you get me. Like, yeah, I want to work with you on this thing over here. So I think that's really key to uncover those things and really dig into it.
I agree with you 100%. I often say, if you only talk about your product, nobody's going to hear you. When product comes up, it should be much more organic, and it should have, this is why that discovery piece, if we go all the way back in our conversation to discovery and listening, the more you know about the individual, what's driving them, what's driving this purchase, and why it should be the problem they're focused on right now. I've never met a professional that doesn't have six problems they're trying to solve. Why is yours the most important as well, right? You need to understand. So I think, honestly, if you don't even know where to begin, I want to go back, if you're listening to this and thinking, I am not natural at this. In fact, I've done inside sales, had huge teams in inside sales, and they're like, well, where do I go network? Because, you know, my people are in South Carolina and I'm in Idaho. Online, read, right? You can start a lot of places. And so I say, start doing research, just reach out to people, not necessarily first to do a demo, but authentically to learn more about the industry.
Yeah. And I've found that that works especially well if you're new in an industry. I mean, especially if you're new in your career, it's easy. You literally just reach out to people and go, hey, I'm brand new in my career and brand new in the industry. Would you be open to getting coffee with me and helping me get up to speed? And, you know, not everybody's going to be open to that, but a ton of people are.
Ton of people are. That's how I switched from legal to PR. And then I started volunteering. And then I started, right, showing up in other ways. And I learned absolutely invaluable amounts of information. And I went on to just truly love the people. You got to find the passion, right? I enjoyed learning with them and hearing about where the industry was going and how they tackled new things like, are you ready for it? AI. Who's not talking about that right now? So really fun to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And connecting with, I think also when you're focused more on building relationships with people and you're reaching out and looking for people who are willing to help, the people who are willing to help are going to be better to work with anyway. And if they're not in the market for what you do, a lot of times they're open to making connections and making referrals. And then, you know, if they do work with you or they've made a referral for you, the type of people that are in their network, people who are willing to help, people who are, you know, more relational to begin with, you're going to close deals faster. You're going to do it with less problems. They're going to tend to be working with companies that are better to work with, less transactional, you know, all of the things that you want as a sales rep. Because if somebody's not willing to give you the time of day to share ideas, or, you know, they're not, I don't want to say always, because sometimes people are just busy and they don't have time.
That's fair. That is a true story.
But if somebody's just like, nah, I don't do things like that, you know, if they have that attitude, or, you know, they're not interested, then they're not going to be the most collaborative person in a sale. And that's really going to be difficult to work with them. So
brings me to a point. Our careers are long and you just don't know what direction you're going to go and how you'll see people again. remember, give it back. Help people. I mean, nothing gives more joy than sharing. We talk about knowledge share. Well, you know, I figured out with the PR profession, I may not know exactly what a young professional would be going through, but I sure know a lot and I'm willing to help. And that is genuine and it comes back, right? So don't just do it for you. Try to figure out ways that you genuinely could do for others, whether it's people need help with just about anything. So pay it forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because when you have that mindset, you do attract other people who are similar and they want to help you. And yeah, it just ends up working out a lot better. So we've kind of dove into this a little bit, but do you have any other practical steps for people who want to build more authentic relationships? They want to, you know, research and kind of find that thing that they can hook onto or that they can be passionate about within the industry that they're in.
Yeah. I think I'd want to just leave people with, read, question, be curious, right? We talked about that. Be curious, figure out if you're an Insta person, follow them. If you're, a LinkedIn junkie, get on there and start figuring out what people are talking about. Really just do the research, show up. A lot of people lately have said this to me and it resonates. Those who show up win. And so show up and get curious and you'll find the passion naturally from there. And showing up could look different for everyone, online, reading industry articles, making a telephone call. Heck, I got a phone call the other day. People don't do that anymore as much, just to say hi. So I'm just saying, think of ways that work for you to learn about things beyond just the micro, go to the macro. You got to understand how your product fits. But if you can't understand how your product fits in the client's entire ecosystem, it's going to be hard. So do the learning.
What is the craziest thing that's ever happened to you in your sales career?
I love this. And this is one of those pay it forward. I was invited to speak to a client's class. She's a professor as well. And I was thrilled. This was in the pandemic, and I was going to do an exercise with, branding, communications, and how to get out there. And I had just flipped on the computer. I was settling in. We were on Google Meet with the class, and the sirens went off outside. A tornado had hit less than a mile away, touched down. So all the alarms started going off. My dogs went crazy. And I said, hang on. And I took everybody down to the basement with me. We got settled. And then me and my dogs did a real life presentation down there in the basement. And I'll tell you, it all worked out fine. But those who were in the classroom that day, and all of them are now graduated and in the industry themselves, remember me as the woman who presented in the tornado.
That's amazing. I love it.
That's a true story.
Something you can remember and you could definitely refer back to for a long
time. We used it as a learning. I said, it really, technology and circumstance can change in a moment. So be prepared, have plan B in your life, and learn to roll with it. Was my presentation perfect? No, but I made the best out of it. We learned and we got it done.
I love it.
I loved this. This is great.
That's a good note to end on. Melissa, thank you so much for joining me on the show. I really appreciate you coming on.
You are welcome. Thanks for having me.